Hey everyone, welcome back to the Film Fund podcast. I'm your host, founder and executive producer at the Film Fund, Thomas Verity. I'm also an award-winning filmmaker, producer, and film festival judge. I started the Film Fund to give artists and filmmakers an easier, alternative way to get their film funded. Instead of working on a screenplay, crowdfunding campaign, or grant application, you write one sentence pitching your film for a chance to receive up to $10,000 and other prizes to make it. Our winter 2021 narrative and documentary contests are now open, so check us out at thefilmfund.co to enter your one-sentence pitch for a chance to win up to 10 grand to make your film. We want to remind listeners that contests happen regularly, so if you're listening to this at a later date, please check the website at thefilmfund.co for the most up-to-date information. Today, we have Daryl Paris-Bright on the show. She is a winner of one of our recent Film Fund documentary contests, and I'm super excited about her project. We won't go into the exact sentence and what the winning entry was since the film hasn't been released yet, but I can say that it has to do with COVID and the police and a black policeman and civil rights, and it's very topical. So I'm super excited to get into everything about Daryl and her film. So Daryl, thank you so much for joining us. Could you can give a much better background on yourself than I can.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me. So I am originally from the DC metropolitan area. And I went to Duke Ellington School of the Arts, where I studied theater, and from there went to Carnegie Mellon School of Drama, where I was able to really expand on my filmmaking as a whole. So now I help run CNT Productions, which is a production company that focuses on socially charged content with a bite.
What kind of bite?
A sassy, rebellious bite.
Okay. Like that. Tell me about your winning pitch. Give me a little, if you can, you know, talk about however much you want to reveal about it.
Yeah, sure. So last year, my father, he was one of the first people to get COVID during March. So before people were even wearing masks, when it was only wash your hands, wash your hands, wash your hands. And he was working as a police officer at the Pentagon, and things quickly took a turn for the worst. He was told that he would only have 3 days to live. And that same exact day, they told us that there was an experimental treatment that they could potentially use called a convalescent plasma. There were very few studies, only done in China, and they asked us permission to give him convalescent plasma, and of course we were like, yes, let's do anything. And he ended up being the first person in the DMV area to receive convalescent plasma, and from there his numbers started to take a turn for the better. And so within a week he was out of a coma, and he woke up out of a coma in the middle of the Black Lives Matter movement. And when he did wake up from a coma, a lot of physical things about his body were very different. He was on dialysis, he had heart issues. Basically, he was forced into retirement. And so my film focuses on my family's entire experience with that, while also exploring my father's identity in terms of him being not only a black man, but also a police officer and now a COVID-19 survivor.
Wow. That is quite a story. Looking at your pitch, I didn't even realize it was about your father. I knew it was about a police officer and someone who was in a coma. But wow, that's very personal. So my next question was, what inspired you to make this film? But it's pretty clear that it's very close to you.
No, but I could
with your father.
No, I could still answer that question.
Okay.
Yeah. I feel like when my father did wake up out of a coma and he came back from the hospital, it became this huge news story, this huge local news story where everybody was like, this is a man, like, this is like happy, encouraging news in the midst of all of the disastrous news. This man has actually survived COVID. And a lot of what the media was narrating was that it was a happy ending to a tragic story. But what the media really didn't talk about was the after effects of COVID-19 and how a lot of COVID survivors have long-lasting effects that really negatively affect their lives. And so I feel like we felt like this documentary needed to be made so that people know the truly negative impact that COVID-19 could have. And we really go into just his healthcare bills and how about his diet lifestyle and how he had to completely change his diet, his the medications that he has to take now, and how both my parents had just a complete change in lifestyle and how it wasn't just a happy ending. There's so much more to it, and not everything is so black and white.
And do you think that telling it in documentary form, I guess how I'm thinking about it in terms of a documentary versus how it would be if you were to kind of almost fictionalize it a bit and make it a narrative. I guess why did you make the decision to do a documentary as opposed to writing kind of a story based on the events?
Well, I feel like a documentary, of course, it's real life. It's nonfiction. So, I mean, yeah, it's nonfiction. So that it's more effective. I feel like when people see someone's real experience and real narrative, even when something is based on a true story, it has a much more long-lasting and effective impact than something that people can just write off as imagination.
Yeah, I totally get that too. It's just want to talk about documentary filmmaking versus narrative for a bit because I saw you had some previous entries to the film fund that were narrative. So it's always interesting to see filmmakers who kind of dabble in both genres there. I mean, what do you think the biggest differences are between narrative and docs as a filmmaker yourself? I mean,
Well, I have
obviously they're different, but
most of my experience is actually with narrative. And I feel like with narrative, there is so much more control. You can plan beforehand. There's like a lot of premeditated preparation for a narrative, and also it's scripted. Whereas with a documentary, I originally started off filming this and trying to create a narrative, and it just wasn't working out. Like, my dad was just not answering the questions the way that I wanted him to answer them. And so I had to, from the footage that I had to then craft the narrative in this in the direction that it was going. So I feel like with narrative work, there's a lot of preparation pre-production, whereas with documentary, a lot of the work comes post-production.
So you really find the story and the edit more with the documentary.
Yes, I would say so from my personal experience.
Yeah, I guess technically I've shot a documentary, but it was a very short thing I did in school. But yeah, I mostly do narratives too. That's my wheelhouse. So I'm not a documentary filmmaker. So it's always interesting to see how people approach that. And I've heard that a couple of times now that you don't always know the exact story going in, and you kind of figure it out as you go along, and then you have to find it when you're editing and dealing with post-production and see what you have to see how you can tell this story. So it's super interesting.
For
I love
sure.
documentaries. I just don't I don't know, I haven't produced one yet, but maybe that'll change.
For sure.
What are some of your favorite things about the Film Fund?
Well, I feel like The Film Fund gives you the access and the resources to create your film. And I don't want to say with like little work per se, but I feel like a lot of grants, you have to write these long like applications. Whereas with the Film Fund, they give you the opportunity to pitch yourself with like just one short sentence. And with that short sentence, I feel like it gives you more clarity moving forward. And so that's one of my favorite things, along with like having a nice virtual community via Discord to still interact with after the fact.
Yeah, and that community aspect is, I think it's so important during COVID. I've seen, I want to say it's been more active over COVID than it has been before, because like, people just don't have the same communities they had before. Like, I know film meetups aren't really happening because of COVID, and productions are, it's hard to get productions happening right now, so people just want to connect with other filmmakers any way they can. So yeah, I love the Discord, and I'm always glad to see. I get all the notifications on my phone,
Me
which
too.
is a little, sometimes it's a lot, but it's so cool to see everyone interacting with each other. And the thing you said about how the film fund helps you understand your project a bit more, even though it's little work, we've had other entrants say that too. It really allows them to hone in on what is really important about their project.
For sure.
Because with a 20-page grant application, you would think, oh, I have all this detail. Obviously, I know what my project is about. And I can elaborate on it and really give you the full pitch. And we get people sometimes who say, oh, well, if I had the opportunity to elaborate more, I could get my film concept across better. But at the same time, they say, I forget what the expression is. I forgot it on the last episode too with Brandon, but it's like restrictions sometimes help you create. So it's like,
For
okay,
sure.
I have this limited amount of time. What the hell is this thing about? And how do I get that across? So that's what we look for. I'm so glad that you like that process too.
For sure.
What are you currently working on in terms of projects?
Well, I am current.
Well, besides this one.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I'm definitely currently working on post-production for this project. We tend to add an animation aspect to it, so I'm super excited about that. But I am also currently developing two live interactive YouTube shows. The first show is called The Sex Scene, which will analyze sex scenes over the history of film and really kind of like dive into analyzing how female sexual pleasure is portrayed on screen. And the other live interactive show is called You Don't Even Cosplay. And it particularly explores hot takes and controversies and the community of cosplay from the lens of underrepresented communities within cosplay. And yeah.
Very cool. How does the interactive component work?
So we will be using a software called or a platform called Hovercast, which allows
Okay.
your audience to interact with the people live. So if you want to comment, you can comment. There will be polls the audience will be able to interact with. They'll be able to answer some questions. And sometimes we'll be able to call them in so that they could be live as well.
That's so interesting. I had a short freelance stint at Google when we were working on an interactive video project, and it was very, very similar to that. You can ask questions and respond to prompts. I feel like interactive video is kind of, they ended up scrapping it, I think. But yeah, but it sounds like there are, it's being used in other areas, which is so cool. I want to look that up. What are some challenges you faced either with those projects or the project you're working on with the Film Fund, or
Well, right now we are currently reading writer submissions, and we got an overwhelming number of responses. We didn't think we posted something on Instagram thinking that we would get maybe like 20 or 30, and now we have like over 200 submissions. And so we've really been trying to get through them in the most fair way.
Submissions to your production company?
Submissions for the live interactive shows.
Oh, okay. Oh, as people who wanted to
People who want to
participate.
be a part of the writer's room.
I see.
And so that has been, it's been really hard trying to get through all of those and trying to be fair. However, one person who is a part of our team, Stephanie, she created a nice little Google Doc that allows us to kind of streamline the process a little bit more. So, yeah.
Definitely feel that in terms of making difficult decisions with the judging, it's always so hard when you have so many amazing entries. And then also streamlining things, we released that judging, or I'm sorry, feedback service, I guess last year. And that when we first launched it, managing that was difficult because we had all of these entries and we were writing responses in a Google Doc, and it was getting done. But it was all like manual, and we were manually sending the email. So then I hired a developer and made some software to kind of automate that sending process a bit. So yeah, so he actually lives above me, so I got a pretty good deal on he's my neighbor. But yeah,
Perfect.
I guess I'm bringing that up to say, like, I mean, you could relate that to film too, right? In terms of pre-production and being organized, it always helps to have processes down, for sure. Even if it's a
Most
Google Doc,
definitely. It
Google
just it
Docs are
makes it
great.
feel a little, well, not a Google Doc, a Google form, sorry.
A Google form.
Yeah,
Okay.
which definitely kind of helps because then it's like name, log line, evaluation, 1 to 5, and then like we send it in, and then from there I think it goes to Google Sheets where it kind of streamlines the process and organizes the names. And it definitely makes things so much easier because otherwise it would have been very overwhelming.
Let's get back to your film with the Film Fund. Obviously it's very topical with the Black Lives Matter movement. We had a crazy year last year with COVID and George Floyd and everyone else. Just talk to me what it means to you to be able to use your voice as a filmmaker and how important it is to champion Black filmmakers.
I mean, I think that I am doing it in the best way that I know how, using, my skill and my passion as a filmmaker to make some sort of long systemic change. And I think that last year, when everybody was protesting, I didn't.
Everyone, we're back. Sorry, it looks like we had some technical difficulties there and we were cut off for a moment. We were talking about how topical Daryl's pitch was in terms of Black Lives Matter and everything that happened last summer. And we were talking about championing Black voices in cinema and what it means to her to be able to use her voice as a filmmaker. She was giving an amazingly eloquent response and then the feed cut out. So sorry about that, Daryl. If you could gather your thoughts again for that answer, that would be great.
Yeah, no worries. What I was saying was basically last year when everyone was going out and protesting, I didn't feel comfortable doing that because of what recently happened to my dad. My mom had also got COVID, but she didn't.
Oh, wow.
She got it because, she lives with him. But she didn't get it so badly that she had to be admitted into the hospital. And so it was very traumatic experience, and I didn't want to, risk potentially getting COVID because I was going to protests. So I feel like my filmmaking and me creating this film is the best way for me to contribute to this movement, and to make a difference, hopefully in a long-term way that will last, beyond my life and the life of everyone here now.
Yeah, and I think that's a beautiful way, one, to give tribute to what your dad went through, but two, it also shows the power of filmmaking. I mean, you weren't comfortable going to protest, which is completely understandable given we're in a pandemic and especially what happened to you to your family. But it's so cool to be able to use film as that tool to get your voice heard and get your story out there. And it's you're right, you're creating this thing that can last, past our lifetimes. It's that's what I love about film. It's you're creating something that
It's
can
bigger
be
than you.
exactly, it's bigger than you and it can be experienced by other people for a long time. And it's, given everything that happened last year, the Film Fund, our mission is to provide funding to independent filmmakers. And we've never asked what the filmmakers' backgrounds are or their race or where they come from, like a lot of other grants do. And we've had some emails about that. It's like, hey, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? But it, I mean, I think it kind of proved that our system does allow stories to be told because we had all of these stories kind of make it to the winning round, and we're just evaluating those stories based on the stories and what they are, and that's what's important in the world right now. We're not saying, oh, we need to tell these types of stories, we need to tell these types of stories, we need to tell stories that are important, and that are relevant and that people believe in, and that's what happened. And I just think that makes your story even more powerful, in my opinion. Yeah, definitely looking forward to seeing the project come together, and I think it's going to be really, really cool. What
Thank
advice would you
you.
give? Yeah, absolutely. What advice would you give to filmmakers, whether they're just starting out or even if they're more experienced?
My advice would be to don't wait. Don't wait until you feel like you're prepared enough or you're good enough, or don't wait for someone to give you the go ahead. You make it happen for yourself. And figure out how to make it happen in whatever way you can. You have more resources available to you than you think, and you're more prepared than you think.
That's great. And that's really relevant too with COVID now. People are, worried about shooting in COVID. I've had a short on hold for over a year, and I was talking to a mentor of mine the other day, and he's like, "Why don't you just shoot it on your iPhone, like by yourself, in like with no one else?" And he's not a filmmaker, so I'm like, "Well, I would have to rewrite the entire script to do that." But he basically said, "Well, so what? Do it. Like, make something." And he's right. I do have an iPhone. We have a ton of blogs on the Film Fund's website that say, use this time in the pandemic for pre-production. You make a quarantine film. I wrote some of them before we had our writers. And it's just like, I have all these resources. So filmmakers out there, you don't always need to be obsessed with the vision you have in your head in terms of I need this crew and I need that piece of gear and I need this location. Just make something because you have resources to do it. And even if it's not an Oscar-winning film, I think scratching that creative itch right now is so important. And it's something I've been struggling with too. So
For
we
sure.
def we definitely need to just make stuff happen.
I feel like my partner Ariel and I have in the past just held off on creating things for fear of it not being high quality. Or we've taken forever to edit something because we didn't necessarily like have the money for the right person to make it the best that it could be. But when you look on like social media now, you see, and you look on YouTube, you see people creating things, they're still creating things with what they have. So I feel like sometimes you just gotta like be creative and make it work instead of waiting for wait, just like constantly waiting for something that will take even longer and will, I guess, like you'll end up biting yourself in the foot in the end because you didn't take that time to give yourself more experience, more hands-on experience creating something for yourself and actually finishing it till the end.
Yeah, and that's so important to make those projects. Like, growing up, made a bunch of horrible short films in my backyard. I didn't have a crew, had my dad hold the boom pole kind of thing, just a couple of friends like from high school. But those experiences, they really taught me, how to be a filmmaker. And like, I didn't know how to edit, so I think I bought Adobe Premiere Elements for like $100. Is like a watered down version of Premiere Pro. I don't even think they make it anymore. And just did it, but I and the film was terrible, but I finished it. And but actually, like, it was cool to create something and see it through to the end.
For
And even
sure.
show it to family and friends. Those experiences are very important, I think. But Daryl, I want to take the time. I want to thank you for taking the time to speak with us today. And I want to remind listeners that the current contests are open. We have a deadline of March 30th. You can win up to $10,000 and other prizes such as KitSplit gift cards and Adobe Premiere Pro subscriptions, as well as Adobe Creative Cloud subscriptions, the whole suite there. So be sure to check out thefilmfund.co slash contests. Thank you, everyone, for tuning into the podcast today. We need more coffee because I just had a total brain fog moment. Documentary contests are open, narratives are open. Go to the website, check them out, write one sentence to enter, and also check out our social media channels. We're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn if you want to get super corporate and boring. Remind to check the website regularly for the most up-to-date information. Also, check out our blog for great filmmaking and producing tips. Sign up for our newsletter and follow us on social to stay up to date on what's happening at the Film Fund. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We release these every Friday, so be sure to check for new episodes. Daryl, I want to thank you again. Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me. Thank you for helping provide the resources for us to create this film. And if you guys want to tune in more, check out our YouTube at youtube.com/CNTProductions. Our Instagram is I'm a Real CNT. And our Facebook is also facebook.com/ I'm a Real CNT.
Awesome. Go check it out, everybody. Thanks, Darrell. Bye.
Thanks.